Okay. So I'll announce the next lightning talk, which is about the second big legislative effort that went on during the past, well, couple of years, really, smiling at the one of the people that worked on it in the European Commission, which is the Product Liability Directive. And with us today is Rob Carolina, who is the General Counsel for ISC, Makers of Bind, who's going to give you a introduction into product liability in 5 minutes, which is... So take it away for Rob.
Martin's original idea was do the product liability thing in 3 minutes, and then you can do some other stuff for two. So what I'm doing here is giving you a reading test, and I'm trying to condense down to 2.5 minutes a topic that we spend about 40 to 60 hours on in law school. So the reason that I'm giving you this reading test is because I want you to be familiar with this fact pattern. I'm going to tell the story in reverse from how I usually do it. This is a story about an automated car that hits a pedestrian in Ireland. Pat victim. That car has on board a piece of software called Bravo Drive, which has included within it a piece of software called Open Sesame. The car was imported by Exotic Imports. The car was manufactured by Einstein Motors in California. Einstein Motors got Bravo Drive software from Bravo Bits BV in the Netherlands, and Bravo Bits VB got open source Open Sesame from Firefly APS in Denmark. Terry Dastardly hacked into the automobile because of a weakness in the authentication package. Provided a few inputs, and the next thing you have is a car that runs over Pat victim in Ireland. Don't worry about Terry Dastardly. He dies or she dies in a horrible paragliding accident or without money or is run over by a bus. Just take them out of the equation. The question that product liability seeks to answer is, in a situation like this when we have an injured victim like Pat victim, who pays for their injuries? Two slides that look like this. This slide is designed to teach you the difference between two different legal theories on how you sue people who manufacture things. The left-hand side is the law of negligence, at least as it's practiced in common law countries. I would not come to a civil law country and teach people about the Napoleonic Code. However, I will talk to you a little bit about common law and suggest that the two are not worlds apart. As you can see from the chart, when our victim tries to sue all these various peoples, Johnson, Exotic Imports, Einstein, BravoBits, or whatever, victim is in a little bit of difficulty because the people who manufactured and imported the car did everything reasonably. They selected good components. They selected trustworthy producers of things. They did not act rashly. Whereas the error in this situation came from a software vendor called Firefly. And maybe, just maybe, we could establish that they owed what's called a duty of care to the victim. If someone like Pat victim was a foreseeable victim when someone wrote this authentication package in Denmark. But as you can see, it's going to be difficult to establish that. Now, in the reading test that I gave you one slide ago, I did put in there that the folks at Firefly, they had a bad week. The problem with their package was because someone made a coding error, and the QA people were kind of asleep that week. Because we're going to get that in a forensics report from an expert who's going to come to trial. The right-hand side of this slide is designed to teach you a different area of law that was adopted in the U.S. in the 1960s and in Europe in 1985, which says, what do we do in situations like this where everybody acts reasonably, but Pat victim still has injuries? And the answer is, we don't look for people who did things unreasonably. We don't care how careful they were, how cautious they were. We look for people who manufactured and put into circulation a dangerous product. We tried really hard to make it safe. We don't care. It doesn't matter. If it's dangerous, it's called no-fault liability for this reason. And as you can see, because the automobile manufacturer and the importer, and this is the law as it exists today in Europe under the 1985 directive, because they were dealing with a product that is dangerous, they will be strictly liable. But the software vendors will not, because software has not been deemed to be a product. Enter the PLD, which changes things on the right-hand side of this chart. And as you can see, what happens here, one of the design characteristics of the PLD, and the origin of these slides, by the way, was I did a talk at Etsy 5 years ago, which said this is coming. So I keep using the same slides for 5 years, and they're still accurate, is that we recharacterize software as a product, and now we can attribute liability to Firefly because they distributed a dangerous product, a piece of authentication software that had been, that didn't work properly. We'll just leave it at that for right now. And since we're running a few minutes ahead, I have one last slide that I'll show you, and I'm just going to hold on this for 60 seconds while you read it. If you're looking for a copy of this, I just posted it half an hour ago on X and on LinkedIn. So whatever the answer is depends on what questions we're asking. I know what question I'm asking. I'm the guy on the left. It appears the questions on the right were the questions asked by the European Commission. And that's how we have the answers that we're talking about today. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.